Well, good evening. Merry Christmas. I'm so glad to be able to get into God's Word with you and for you to be able to join me as we look into the Scriptures, even if it is from a distance. Let's begin with a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you that we even have the opportunity to come together as your church, even if it is from a distance, to be able to look at your word and remember the good news of what you have done for us as your son came and he took on flesh on your rescue mission to save us. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that your spirit would be present in our midst, that he would stir our hearts to a greater faithfulness and a greater affection for you, that we may bow down in worship for what you have done. Lord, we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I don't think I need to belabor the point that this has been a hard year. We've all come to understand that. I remember when COVID-19 first started up and we were all trying to figure out kind of exactly what was going on. And I think we have passed that point. Most of us have now moved from the what is happening point to the what do I do about it point. And I think the most natural reaction that many of us have had from the suffering that we felt this year and the difficulties that we have faced has been to get away from it. Right? It's almost as if 2020 is kind of this year on fire, and we're doing everything that we can just to put the fire out and to clean up the rubble and move on. Many of us would like to forget this year ever existed, and I think some of us have actually begun to believe that once we move from December 31st, 2020 to January 1st, 2021, that all of our worries are going to go away. And of course, we know that that is not true. When we consider Christmas, it's usually a time of joy and thanksgiving as we remember the birth of Jesus, our Savior. Now, this year might feel a little bit different because of some of the circumstances that we have faced, or because some of us are socially distanced or not able to be with our family in the same way. But what we have to remember for Christmas is not just that Jesus was born, but what actually happened when he was. Because there's a bigger picture to be seen here where God was doing something amazing in a way that many of us may never have expected. And we see something that is amazingly applicable and valuable to us, especially right now. We see that God fulfills his purposes in the chaos and the fragility of everyday life. Let me say that again. We see that God fulfills his purposes in the chaos and in the fragility of everyday life. Now, as we turn to the story itself, I think we need to take just a moment to realize just how crazy of a situation we are looking at. Because when we read the Bible now, we are looking back on what's happened. We have this big picture perspective. But consider Mary and Joseph and the moment that they had right in the present for just a second. They were betrothed, which is not quite the same thing as engagement in our cultural context. There were legal stipulations around betrothal, but for our purposes, they were officially planning to be married. You had both Mary and Joseph's expectations that soon they were going to be husband and wife, and they were going to start a family. And with that would come a new sense of identity and independence. And there's this hype around that, and there's this joy with them and with their families about this new season of life that they are about to begin. And then all of a sudden, probably almost out of nowhere, you have Mary coming to Joseph, and with a few words, all of the hopes that they may have had for the situation are crushed. Joseph may not have only felt the internal sting of betrayal from Mary, but both of them probably felt the external weight about what would happen if their larger community found out about what had happened. When you look at the text, you see that Joseph was resolved to divorce Mary quietly. He resolved to do it quietly. There was this moment where they didn't want everybody to know. What started out as this amazing gift and these high hopes had turned into one of the greatest catastrophes of their lives, or so it seemed. Look with me at verses 18 through 20. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And we'll continue that in just a little bit here. Now, I don't want to harp on their situation too much because many of us are already familiar with it. And I don't want to harp too much on this year anymore because I think that we all get it. But I do think that this year specifically has provided us with an opportunity to identify with Mary and Joseph around what it feels like when you have high hopes for how things are going to go and they simply don't go the way that you expected. In fact, I think that we've gotten to the point where many of us think that the only thing that we can expect in a circumstance is that it's not going to go like we expected it would. And it's been especially interesting for me to be able to watch people respond when their plans have been dramatically changed. People are kind of on this continuum where on one side, they may be overly optimistic about 2021, as I had mentioned. They think it's going to be a whole different year. And on the other hand, some of us have totally foregone optimism. We've gone to pessimism where we are hardened and we are calloused or maybe a little bit cynical and jaded about everything that has happened this year. You might feel like everything is broken or corrupt. And then mixed in with all of that are these other emotions like anger and fear and frustration and confusion and whatever it is. And yet what's interesting is when we look at Joseph's reaction in verses 19 and 20, we see that he kind of does the logical thing where he resolves to divorce Mary, but he does this other thing where he continues to consider the situation. And it's in that process that we see God intervene. Look with me at verses 20 through 25. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So very quickly, we see that Mary and Joseph's perspective on the situation changes as they learn that not everything was as it appeared. In fact, it was far more supernatural and far more complicated and complex and maybe confusing, but far more interesting and far better than they probably could have imagined. Not only did Mary not cheat on Joseph, but the baby that she was bearing was from God himself. And what we come to find is that baby was God the Son himself taking on flesh. And as the angel gives the child's name to Joseph, Joseph begins to get a hint of what purposes the Lord is working out. This child, Jesus, is going to save his people from their sins. Friends, when we look at our lives, it's really easy for us to think about what is happening as opposed to why it is. And this text makes it very clear that not only did God have this amazing purpose in the present circumstances of Mary and Joseph, but what we see in the deeper why is that what God was doing in the midst of this chaotic set of circumstances was bringing to greater fulfillment what God's people had been waiting for years and years. This child was the long-awaited Messiah. And as we consider this, I want to encourage you to just take a step back and consider your own present circumstances. We're all here. We're carrying different baggage, different weights, and some of us are doing better at carrying those weights than others. But what I want us to grapple with this text, is that our perspective is just so limited compared to what God is really up to. That in things that appear to be the undoing of us and our families and our society and our country and our world, God still has a purpose. Now, that doesn't change the way that we feel, but it does change the way that we respond. Because in every situation, we have one of two choices of how we're going to respond. We can respond based on our own understanding and in our own power, which may work out sometimes and it may not work out in others. But we can also choose a different route. We can respond based on what we know to be true of God, and we can follow His lead as we are responding as He goes before us. And while that might be harder for us, takes maybe a little bit more patience, that is ultimately always the better way to go, because God cares for you and I more than we care for ourselves, whether you can believe that or not. And He can do more with our situations than we ever could. As we look at the end of this text, it's very clear that Joseph chose to step out in obedience to God. I'm sure that he didn't have it all figured out, and I'm sure that he had a level of stress about what others would think about him. And yet, he does what the Lord asks him to do, and he takes the Christ child as his own. He adopts him. Friends, if this text, if it meets us anywhere, it's in the reminder that we are not called to understand everything. We're just not going to. We're not omniscient, and God knows that. Nor are we called to have everything together in our lives. That is not the requirement for a relationship with God. On the contrary, our inability to know everything and to have our lives together are reminders that we are not God. And so in response to God, we are simply called to thoughtfully seek wisdom and understanding. It's okay that we try and understand our situations to some degree, but only where we can. And then what we do as a next step is we walk in humble obedience to the Lord, knowing that even if we don't have it all together, He always has. I want to encourage you this Christmas to hold to what you know to be true of God, even when you don't understand your present circumstances. I'm going to say that again. Hold to what you know to be true of God, even when you don't understand your present circumstances. And as we remember Christ's birth tonight, we're reminded of what we are sure is true of Him as we gaze upon the stunning moment in history as God, the Son, takes on flesh and comes into the world as the child who will save His people. And we take heart in knowing that it wasn't despite difficult circumstances that God came into the world and saved us. It wasn't God working around the hard time that Mary and Joseph appeared to have. It wasn't God saying, well, this is screwed up. What am I going to do with this? No. It was that the challenging set of circumstances were the means by which God came into the world, the very best thing that could possibly happen for our world. The situation that Mary and Joseph probably initially felt like would ruin their lives was in fact God working to save His people, as that child would go on to live the perfect life, and He would die the death that we deserve, and He would rise again 3 days later, so that through faith in Him, God would rescue us from death if we would only put faith in His Son. So friends, as we look at our lives and as we look at this year, we have to realize that if God's good purposes were worked out in Mary and Joseph's chaotic circumstances, then there is nothing that we'll ever face either that can't be used for good in God's loving hands. And that includes everything we've ever faced. That includes 2020 and beyond. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that no matter what we face, You are good. Lord, we come to You and we ask Your forgiveness for the ways that we have doubted, for the ways that we have responded in our own fleshly selves to the circumstances that we face instead of looking to You. Lord, we ask that this Christmas You would help us to rest in You and what You have done more than ever. We ask that we would find a deep peace in being reconciled to You through Your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for those that are listening to this that have not put their trust in Jesus, that they would be drawn to Him, realizing that He has done what they could not, that there is nothing more that they need to do but rest in His finished work and who He is and what He has done for them. And for those of us who are in Messiah Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would help us to respond in obedience, that you would help us to go out in this new year as ambassadors of his kingdom, being faithful, being winsome, but ultimately relying first on you moving and going before us as we trust that your spirit is at work and that you will bring to completion the work that you have began. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are and what you have done, especially what you have done in coming into the world through your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.